Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thank you, Tim, and hello, everybody. Welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. If you like adventure, that's what we've got for you today. We'll start off with an episode of I Love Adventure called The Great Airmail Robbery. And in 30 minutes' time, we'll have an episode of Cloak and Dagger, The Direct Line to the Bombers from 1950. But right now, I Love Adventure.
International Incident Number 2.
Jack Packard. Return to London immediately for urgent assignment over Saudi Arabia. Signed, the 21 old men of 10 Gramercy Park. I Love Adventure. The American Broadcasting Company presents a new Carlton E. Morse production featuring the international escapades of Jack, Doc, and Reggie. Tonight's incident is entitled The Great Airmail Robbery.
All out, please. Piccadilly Station. All out, please.
Cab, mister. Cab, lady.
All right, cabby.
Cab. All right, yes, sir. Take your luggage.
Thanks.
Right inside of you. You carry every bit of luggage, sir.
Yeah, my extra suit of heavy underwear.
You tell. There.
10 Gramercy Park.
10 Gramercy Park it is. Mister. Bit of an old heap of ancient history, if you ask me.
You're familiar with 10 Gramercy Park, are you?
Oh, ain't. It's been standing there since the beginning of time. All through the war, the Nazi Huns dropped their explosives like a bloody snowstorm, and people's houses was a-popping and a-busting like paper bags. But not one of them stingers ever come near 10 Gramercy Park.
Had the good luck sign on it, huh?
Yeah, more than that, if you want my opinion. Oh, thank you, mister.
Well, all right, keep the change.
You're a scholar and a gent. Shall I rustle your luggage up the steps?
No, I'll take it, thanks.
Good going, mister.
Oh, hello.
Major Jack Packard.
That's right.
Right into the great reception hall, if you will, please. Right ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was here before.
Very good, sir.
Again, the awesome beauty of this cathedral-like room gives me a feeling of standing in the midst of solemn, reverent things. The ceiling lost in the upper gloom, three stories above. Great leaded windows showing the color and pageantry of the Crusades, King Arthur's court, Charlemagne, the signing of the Magna Carta, all the history of the civilized world. And there on the giant tapestries are woven still more of the biography of human life. And the fabulous carpets on the floor, and the period furniture. This reception room, this waiting room at 10 Gramercy Park, was certainly designed to give interviewers the greatest respect for the 21 old men. The tapestry across the west wall is still drawn, hiding the great mirror. Hello. I'm to have company, apparently.
Reggie! Reggie York!
I say, who?
Why, Jack Packard! What can I say of all the jolly meetings? Well, but where did you drop from?
I might ask you the same thing.
Oh, look here, this is the best ever.
Begging your pardon, but will you go inside and close the door?
Sorry, old boy. Word. Jeff, what is this? A bit of a monastery, what?
Well, never mind this room for now. Tell me about yourself. Where have you been since the war? What have you been doing?
Zilzap, is the A1 Detective Agency still running out in Hollywood, California?
The A1 Detective Agency is dead history. Will you answer...
Well, what about Doc Long? Look here, isn't Doc with you?
I don't know where Doc is. He disappeared out in the Orient after the war.
Missing in action?
No, just dropped out of sight. Same way you did, you no-account English renegade. What do you mean by it, anyway?
Oh, look here, isn't this a bit of the best? We only had Doc with
us. Look here, will you calm down and answer some questions before the Inquisition?
Inquisition?
Yeah, you see that great tapestry on the west wall?
I do.
Presently, that'll be drawn back to reveal the largest mirror you ever saw. Covers that complete wall, at least 40 by 60 feet.
But what's it all about?
Well, it's only a mirror on this side. Behind the glass is a room where the 21 old men sit to interview us.
You say, there really are 21 old men of 10 Gramercy Park?
I guarantee it. From their side, the glass wall is a window.
So they look at us and we're a couple of blind mice, is that it?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, I'll say this, you know more about it, what we're up against, than I do.
Just what do you know?
Hardly anything. I got this wireless out in the midst of the Gobi Desert.
What in blazes are you doing in the Gobi Desert?
Keeping off the desert tribes who thirsted for infidel blood while an old chappy with long whiskers looked for dinosaur eggs. Here, look at the radio message. Read it.
Sergeant Reginald York, you are herewith summoned to London in the name of peace and goodwill for the purpose of combating those who would pilfer and murder in the midst of today's utter chaos. Signed, the 21 old men of 10 Gramercy Park.
A bit like being called to arms, well. Matter of fact, I felt a bit like Sir Lancelot, riding out to save beauty and goodness and perhaps recover the Holy Grail.
Surprised you took a message like this seriously.
I showed it to the old professor with the whiskers. Asked him how balmy a man could get. I thought it was a bit of a joke.
Yeah?
But the old man knew something. He grabbed me by the arm and hustled me into his tent and paid me off in full. Called the camel boy, had me on the way to the nearest airport some 200 miles away before I knew which end was up.
Yeah, I had a similar experience. I went...
Jove. They're pulling the tapestry back. Can they hear us?
Yeah. We'll be able to talk back and forth. This is my second assignment.
If only Doc were here. He'd love this.
Major Jack Packard and Sergeant Reginald York, it gives the 21 old men extreme pleasure to bring two such old friends together again.
Yeah, now if you'll only dig up Doc Long for us, we'll be complete.
Yes, we know about your Texas friend. We have been looking into the matter. However, leaving friendship apart, we have summoned Sergeant York to work with you on the next assignment, because beyond a doubt, it's a two-man operation. Dr. Pakhtan from India will give you your assignment.
Twice within the last 6 months, the London-Bombay 100-passenger airliner has been robbed in midair.
Jove.
As you are aware, this giant air cruiser not only carries 30 cabin passengers and 70 second and third class passengers, but delivers the bulk of mail and first class freight between the English Commonwealth and my country. On the two occasions of these villainous attacks in midair, the aircraft was carrying riches of unnamed value.
What do you mean, robbed in midair?
A plane appeared out of nowhere. A shot was fired across the airliner's nose, and radio communications ordered the craft to be slowed to minimum cruising speed. A top escape hatch was ordered opened, and all passengers and crew members were ordered to remain in their cabins or seats or at their posts on pain of having the craft blown to bits in midair.
This was done?
On both occasions, this was done. A rope ladder was lowered from the pirate plane. Two men dressed in black, leather jackets, and trousers with leather hoods and goggles came down the ladder into the liner, robbed the mail sacks, and then stripped the passengers of money and jewelry.
The men escaped back up through the hatch to their own plane, huh?
That is true. Your assignment is to take tonight's trip out on the London-Bombay plane, which is again carrying a sensationally rich cargo.
I see. Bit of all right.
You will capture the two men who descend from the enemy plane. You will don their attire and return to the pirate ship in their stead.
Wouldn't you like it just as well if we mounted a cannon on the airliner and blew him out of the sky?
No, we must have that plane. It is of an unknown design, and it is our opinion that it is from some base or headquarters of far greater concern to the world than simply air piracy. We want the plane whole, the men alive, and such papers as they have aboard carefully preserved.
Well, we'll do what we can.
You will do better than that. This malignancy must be dealt with at its very source.
I say, Jack, talk about your luxury liner. If I didn't know differently, I'd think our quarters were a drawing room on the Super Chief out of Hollywood.
Yeah, not bad.
Regular three-quarter beds and plumbing facilities right out of tomorrow. Oh, Jove, here's a button I haven't pressed yet.
Hey, Reggie.
Hmm? Nothing seems to be... Oh, I say. Will you listen to that?
You turned on the radio.
Horace Heights dance of the Blue Danube at 23,000 feet in the air over Saudi Arabia. Well, if only Doc could be here with all his Texas boy amazement.
Well, we're riding first class. This is the cabin deck.
Don't worry about the steerage passengers, old woman. I was down there an hour ago checking with the co-pilot.
Steerage passengers doing all right, huh?
Millionaires have been traveling back and forth across the United States by air for the past 10 years with less.
Well, if you're ready.
Hello. Who's that?
I'll see.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, hello. You lost?
Not in the least. May I come into your cabin, please?
I say, do that.
Just a minute,
I was just saying to Jack, we have everything a man might ask for here in this cabin, but a beautiful girl. may I take a wrap?
You're a forward young man, Mr. York.
I am.
You are. Miking like a wolf. And I doubt if you even know my name.
But I say, you asked to come in.
You know who I am, don't you, Mr. Packard?
Yeah. Miss Judy Roberts. You won a British beauty contest, and this trip on the London-Bombay Air Express is part of your reward.
Jove, of course. You're the special guest of the pilot of this belly dreadnought. I saw you at his table at lunch.
Good. Then it's worked. Even you two gents have been fooled.
Oh, now, look here.
Will you say that again?
The 21 old men of 10 Gramercy Park didn't give even you a tip-off.
21? Then you're one of us?
That's right.
A little thing your size. A little dame is pretty.
Oh.
Here. Where did that gun come from?
All right. So I'm a pretty little dame, so I'm pint-sized. I'll still come in pretty handy with a stinger of this sort in case of a tie, don't you think?
Yes. Ruddy gun woman.
Put it away, Judy. We believe you. We just don't understand the need for reinforcement.
I'm your secondary defense in case of surprise tactics. The 21 old men decided on me at the last minute, just in case there might happen to be someone connected with the enemy who rides the ship as a passenger.
In other words, Reggie and I will be able to cope with the two pirates who've come down the ladder from the attacking ship. But we might need help if there are members of the gang planted in the passenger list.
Quite right.
The girl at our back guarding against the assassin's knife.
Furthermore, if there are agents on the passenger list, they are to be taken also.
But why a girl?
A girl's just right. There are gangsters on board. They're going to be on watch for government undercover men. They'll examine every male passenger with suspicion, but who's going to give a second thought to anything as dainty and feminine as Judy here?
You can take me to the cocktail lounge and buy me a cold pink drink with bubbly beads on top for those kind words.
Shut off the radio already.
Righto.
Oh, before we go out, there's one thing.
Yeah?
You've made all the necessary arrangements with the pilot.
All set.
Well, I guess there's nothing else.
After making so blooming many arrangements, the Jolly Roger of the Stratosphere will probably shun us like false teeth in a soup plate.
He's not supposed to know a trap's been laid.
He'll strike this time if he ever intends to strike again. We got a payload that'd come close to breaking the Bank of England if it were to be lost.
Really? I didn't know that.
But why? I mean to say, there are other ways of shipping precious cargo.
Done on purpose. Tempt our pirates. Make the bait so alluring it can't be resisted. Well, shall we go to the cocktail lounge?
Oh, yes, please.
How far are we from the place we should expect to take?
Hey, Reggie.
Hmm?
Keep your voice down in the corridor. You got the key?
Quiet.
Okay, lead off, Judy.
They don't waste much space on corridors in these airplanes.
Who spends any time in corridors?
Here we go up forward to the lounge.
Live music this afternoon, cocktail lounge.
Well filled, love.
But they're so quiet.
Overawed at sitting in a modern lounge and sipping a cocktail at 23,000 feet.
Perhaps it's the pressurized cabin that makes them so restrained, huh?
Oh, and it is good music.
Well, it is at that.
Mademoiselle, monsieur, please to come this way if you will.
Thank you. Come along, Judy.
This will be convenient.
Good.
May I am.
Oh, thank you, Mr. York.
Your order, s'il vous plaît.
Miss Roberts?
A pink lady, please.
Wait. A martini, very dry. 4-1.
This is our formula, monsieur.
Good. Reggie?
A glass of milk.
I beg monsieur's pardon.
A glass of milk, au revoir. Don't give me that glass, Esther.
With perhaps an egg and a jigger of sherry?
One glass of milk just as it came out of the cow. No doctoring.
The patron of the cow. One meets the strangest people in the stratosphere.
You don't suppose I've offended the poor fellow, do you?
Ah.
Hello. Our entertainer is a versatile fellow. First the piano, now the electric organ.
Those things can be awful.
Oh, like a cat screeching on the back fence.
And then I have heard it played. It's sweet as milk and honey. I wonder which... Ah, listen to this.
Not bad, not bad.
Oh, waiter.
Oui, mademoiselle. The drinks will be here in just a few moments.
No, please. Where is the powder room?
Powder room? To the back of the lounge. First door to the left.
Thank you. Will you gentlemen excuse me? Oh, no, don't get up.
Pleasure.
Thank you. I'll be back before the drinks get here.
Jack, what are your manners?
Sit down, Reggie.
Joe, you usually get up when a lady leaves the table.
Who said Judy Roberts was the lady?
Oh, I say.
Don't stand there with your mouth open. Sit down.
The man lost his wits.
Listen to me, Reggie. I think I know who the enemy agents are aboard this ship.
You do?
Are you blind?
Apparently I am.
You didn't see the expression on the piano player's face when Judy came in with us?
Sorry, I don't use my eyes half so well in the fist.
Oh, look here. Use it, yes.
Never mind. She's coming back.
I see there is something between those two.
You saw something? Oh,
didn't you see a right
hand?
Never mind,
never mind now.
What, new drink here? Oh, thank you, Mr. York.
Monsieur? Say, we're slowing down. Shove down the brakes faster.
Hey, listen.
Can't see another plane from here.
Don't get up, Reggie.
Actually, hadn't we ought to go forward, Jack? Contact the pilot.
It's all arranged. The pilot's going to open the hatch directly over the cocktail lounge.
What do you want me to do?
Turn around. Turn facing the full length of the lounge.
That will put my back to you and Mr. York.
Exactly.
If you wish.
Reggie, you know where to keep your eyes.
I know. That piano player.
Reggie, that man at the third table, he's got a revolver out. Point it in this direction.
Let me out!
Piano player shot him!
Please be quiet. Please. Of course, you idiot. The piano player and I are on your team. Look out!
You got that second one, Jack. You laid him out for good.
We certainly scared the patrons.
Boy, everybody making himself as small as possible.
All right, all you people. Stay right where you are. Not a sound out of you. This is an airmail robbery. Somebody take care of that woman. Shut her up.
Oui, monsieur.
Listen. You can hear the pirate plane.
They're coming in to drop their men for the robbery.
Yes. You can see them out the window. Two men swinging on the ladder below their plane.
Sure. Such acrobatics.
That's what we'll be doing in 10 minutes from now if everything clicks.
Oh, they're out of sight. They're coming directly over.
Pilots, release the hatch door right overhead. All they got to do is push it back and drop down in.
You think they'll come in until they're sure it's safe?
Can't tell. Listen.
Oh. Oh, they've landed.
They've been landed. Now the plane's circling the liner.
I want to go back to London. Let me out of here.
Keep that woman quiet.
We're doing our best.
Listen.
Two desperate men are going to drop in from the hatch in the roof in a minute. Everybody keep still and out of the way.
Reggie, you and I'll jump them the minute they hit the floor.
With pleasure. I'll take the first one, you take the second.
The hatch is open.
Listen.
What is the situation in the cabin?
Now what do we say?
They're being cagey.
Let me answer.
I am talking for Honor Ray and Pascal. They say, come down quick.
Who are you?
I am girlfriend of Honor Ray and Pascal. They have two government undercover men trapped in private cabin. They tell me for you to come quick. It is safe.
You'd better be telling the truth.
Good girl.
Two men are being killed. Hurry! Hurry!
We are coming down.
Get set, Reggie. But don't grab the first one until the second one swings down so I can get him, too.
Right.
Here he comes.
Hurry! Hurry, do not wait!
We are coming!
Hold it, hold it.
Now get them both.
Well, I got my man. How about you, Dick?
One more sock.
Get back, everybody. Get back.
That takes care of that.
With true artistry.
Judy, you and your piano player police this room while Reggie and I strip these babies of their black leather uniforms and paraphernalia.
You're going to put them on?
We're going to let that pirate plane pick us up.
Oh, it's insane.
If they can do acrobatics on a rope ladder from a plane, why can't we?
Oh, please, it's murder.
Not at all. I always wondered how I'd look hanging from a rope.
All right, everything's checked. Hold them again, Judy.
Safety belts.
Check, ladder.
Parachute.
Check, check.
Two diplomatic pouches stuffed with the alleged mail robbery loot.
Alleged is good.
Yeah, we each have a pouch.
Holsters, ammunition, shoulder gun.
Until I feel like a belly arsenal.
Well, that's how they came, so that's how we got to go back.
If they spot you on the ladder...
How can they? We're dressed exactly like their two men. Our pressure mask will protect our faces until we're hauled up.
I say, come on, Jack. Heave me up through the hatch, huh?
Our timing's perfect, according to the prisoner with a battered nose. All right, step in my hand.
Yeah. Up you go, right up. Hold myself up. Through. There.
All right, one of you men step over and give me a heave up. You, waiter with the accent. Give me a hand.
Oh, but oui, monsieur.
Thanks.
Here.
Easy, easy.
There you
go. Now then.
There you are. Up.
Got you. Come on up, Lieutenant. I gave the pirate ship a wave. They're coming around.
Close the hatch.
Goodbye, boys. I love you two guys. Goodbye.
Didn't take the enemy plane long to get into position behind us.
Watch it, Dick. Here she comes.
We're both going to have to grab the rope ladder at the same time, so grab as high as you can.
Right.
And hang on for dear life.
Here she comes.
Hey, you got hold all right?
Yes, right. Got my feet on the lowest rung. How about you?
I got a hold with my hands all right. I can't seem to get a foothold.
Here. Does that help?
Thanks.
I say, we're flapping out here like a shirt tail in a high wind.
Breezy, all right.
Well, if either of us gets thrown off this contraption, remember, we've got plenty of space under us and a couple of parachutes.
We're not going to get thrown off. We got a job topside.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start climbing up to it.
Right up. Here we go. Up. Every time you take a foot off the rung, the blasted rope vanishes out in midair.
We're making progress. Not much farther now.
Coming up on the... We've got the Bombay door open to receive us now.
Yeah, I noticed. We're going to have to act fast. Start knocking heads together the minute we set foot on solid flooring.
Oh, Joe, do I love action.
You're going to get it. If anyone's too far away to slug, shoot him. But not to kill.
Yeah, unless he gets nasty and starts shooting back.
They want prisoners, not corpses.
Okay.
Hey, there's three. No, four heads peering down at us. All right. Here we go up under and inside. No more conversation now.
All right, you men. What took you so long?
Come up through the hatch. Did you get away with it? You did, eh? All right. Boys, heave them up. Get a good take, did you? Heave them up and close the bomb bay and let's get out of here. Open your... There you are, boys.
Get them ready.
Right out!
There, we got them, Jack. We met the belly brutes and they're ours.
Never mind the historical speeches. Tie these birds up while I go and make friends with the pilot.
Oh, Jill, I forgot about him.
And then get on that radio and let him know in bomb day.
Yeah, what shall I say? Anything special?
Tell him on schedule, on the beam. Passengers under the weather, but will recover in plenty of time to be hanged.
I say, Jack, old boy, pick up that telephone, will you?
Are you ever going to get out of that bath, sir?
I am out. Hey, there's a jolly good hotel they have here in Bombay.
Hello. Oh, hello, Judy. I wondered if I'd lost you for good at the airport. Huh? Yeah, come right up.
Oh, I say, old boy, I don't have on a stitch.
Yeah, Reggie's still in the bathroom, but we'll just lock the door.
Not at all. I refuse to stay in the bathroom.
Right away. Good.
I say, is she coming?
Right away.
Now what are you up to?
Hello. Room service? Two pink ladies, some ice, and a bottle of seltzer. Yeah.
And a pitcher of milk, Elmer.
Oh, yeah, and a pitcher of milk. Yeah, milk. You don't want the baby to go hungry, do you? Yeah. And make it fast.
What was that crack about babies?
How else can you explain milk to a bartender?
Oh, I see. Is that the girl?
Close that bathroom door. And keep it closed.
Hello? I'm here.
And dressed for, too, I see. Come in.
Thank you.
Let me take your wrap.
Oh, Jack, I know the most wonderful Russian gypsy place on the waterfront. Where two people...
Sold. We'll have our drinks and be on our way.
Good. Oh, this afternoon when you two men climbed up that ladder to the second plane. I didn't think that tonight... And the officials who met us at the airport and took over the prisoners, they were so delighted. Goodness, the town of Bombay is yours tonight, if you wish.
Who wants Bombay with you in the vicinity?
Can I say, talk a bit louder. I can't hear very well.
Quiet in the bathroom.
You going out?
Right away. We'll leave the drinks for you. Have a party for yourself. Two pink ladies, seltzer, ice, and a pitcher of milk. See you in the morning.
You know, Jack, this is not a bad life we live.
I quite agree. And I might add, this is the first time I'd ever thought to look for a Russian gypsy hideout on the waterfront of Bombay.
I was here only one time before. I remembered the music, the dim light, the pink ladies with bubbles on top.
With bubbles on top, she likes them.
And on the floor above, there's dancing. And a balcony with the booths all closed in, where one may watch the moon go down and the morning sun come up.
I see Major Packard.
Oh,
no. Oh, no, please. Please don't listen.
I see, Packard. It's most important.
Who the blazes are you?
No, Jack, don't disappoint me. It's not too late. Send him away.
See, old chap, there's a most frightful message awaiting you at the consulate. We've been combing Bombay for you.
What kind of message?
If they don't stop to pack, you can catch the night air express back to London.
What?
Sergeant York is waiting for you at the airport.
Why the rush?
I can't tell you. That whole secret. Cops and robbers, cloaks and daggers and all that berry rot. Not to mention 21 old gentlemen.
The 21 old men of 10 Gramercy Park?
And something about a berserk submarine and piracy rampant.
You see now our night's all shot to ribbons. A girl never gets her innings. In this business.
You have just heard I Love Adventure, a Carlton E. Morse production featuring Michael Ruffetto as Jack Packard and Tom Collins as Reggie York. Next week, The Devil's Sanctuary, an epic adventure in the South Pacific. Others in the cast were Jeanette Nolan, Lal Chand Mehra, Everett Glass, Rolf Sedan, Earl Lee, and Don Morrison. The Great Airmail Robbery was written and directed by Carlton E. Morris. Music by Rex Corey. Sound effects by Fred Cole and Robert Conlon. Your announcer, Dresser Dahlstedt. Now, a listening reminder. The clock ticks off 30 minutes of intrigue and excitement, so don't miss another thrilling drama On the Clock, heard tonight over this same ABC station. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
The adventures continue with Cloak and Dagger. This is called Direct Line to the Bombers from 1950.
Are you willing to undertake a dangerous mission behind the enemy lines, knowing you may never return alive?
What you have just heard is the question asked during the war to agents of the OSS, ordinary citizens who to this question answered, yes.
This is Cloak and Dagger.
Warfare, espionage, international intrigue. These are the weapons of the OSS. Today's adventure, Direct Line to Bombers, the story of an American OSS agent who, during the height of the war, directed from the streets of Berlin an American attack, is suggested by actual incidents recorded in the Washington files of the Office of Strategic Services. A story that can now be told.
After you get back from a mission, you sit around and there's nothing to do but sit around. So that's what I did. I sat in a room in Milton Hall in England where OSS agents are trained. I thought about the restaurant on 6th Avenue I wanted to open after the war. I was never so bored in my life. Yeah.
Hey, Nicky, the colonel wants to see you. Very important.
Okay, pal. Tell my pal the colonel I'll be there. And win the war for him. Da 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 da. And that was how it all began. November 1944. After that, I didn't have time to be bored.
I know you've just come back from a mission in France, Lieutenant, so it's strictly up to you if you want to go out again immediately.
Oh, now listen, pal. I mean, Colonel. If I have to sit around here and do nothing, I'll blow my top.
You speak German, don't you?
Well enough to know that Hitler speaks a lousy German, full of grammatical errors. If I see him, I'll tell him. Eh?
You may be closer to him than you think. Corporal?
Yes, Colonel?
Send in Professor Warburg.
That's how I met the professor. He was a little guy with a beard. He weighed about as much as 10 cents worth of liver. And he reminded me of my chemistry teacher back in Lincoln Junior High School.
Professor, tell Lieutenant Olesnikov just what you told me.
With the greatest of pleasure, Colonel. Lieutenant, I am an escaped political prisoner of the Nazis, and I am here in England illegally.
And you just walked into headquarters and told that to the colonel, huh? Did you know you can be interned?
I know that very well. But I can no longer sit by and be idle while I have a plan that I know can help the Allies.
What Professor Warburg suggests, Lieutenant, is that he be parachuted into Germany with another agent, make his way to Berlin.
I assure you I can move about Berlin blindfolded. I know it well.
Berlin? This could be interesting. What then?
Then, with a radio transmitter, we could pinpoint military targets to American planes overhead. We could direct bombs from the streets of Berlin itself.
Now, wait a minute. Walk around with a walkie-talkie in the middle of a raid carrying on conversation with bombers?
When do we leave, pal? I am ready any time. Today? Tomorrow? Yesterday?
The professor may have been ready yesterday, but the OSS wasn't.
First, we were briefed for weeks how to get food coupons in Berlin, how to buy a railroad ticket, how to post a letter, how to greet a German officer in the street. Little things, an American cigarette, an English match, a laundry mark could give us away. And there were big things, too. We were grilled for hours on cover stories. Forgeries became documents. Fiction became fact. Passes, stamps, signatures. Everything authentic, everything ersatz, including my manners and habits. But I was ready to pass as a citizen of Berlin. And then a plane took us high over German soil, and we jumped.
We made it, Nicky.
Yeah. It's only a few kilometers to Berlin. We can walk it, make it before daylight.
We should find the farmer who owns this field and say Dankeschön for providing us with so ideal a landing place.
Yeah, we'll send him a letter sometime. Right now, let's get out of here.
We will wait where you are. Kindly keep your hands in the air. Unless you want that I blow your heads off. Or that my dog tear you to bits. Pedro! Been a good dog keeping so still.
Well, as your farmer, Professor, you still want to say Dankeschön.
Sit still! Do not talk!
You have made a mistake, my friend. My companion and I got lost trying to find the road. We came by accident on your field.
That's right. We both of us only recently discharged from the army. If you would care to see our papers right here in this knapsack.
Halt! If you don't keep your hands up, I will let the dog go for your throat. I do not care to see your papers. I saw you parachute from an American plane.
Uh-oh.
Walk now to the barn. Rolf will see to it that you stay there. Won't you, Rolf?
The German farmer left us in the barn and he didn't have to lock the door. That big black Doberman with the impatient fangs watched us as if he wanted us to make a move so we could jump.
Oh, if we get out of this, my friend, I shall never again be a dog lover.
Professor, don't move, don't turn your head, just listen to me.
Yeah, I'm listening.
There's some harness straps hanging on a hook right over my head. I noticed them when I came in. I can pull them down fast enough. I'll throw them over the dog when he leaps, try to entangle him.
Yeah, but...
There's some horse blankets near you. When I pull down the straps, throw the blanket over him. It's got to be fast. Better work.
I'm ready.
On three, then. One. Nice, boy. Nice, nice. Big, ugly mutt. Two. Three. The harness caught on the nails. I tried to pull it down, and the dog leaped at my neck. And then the nail came off, too, and the straps fell across the dog's snout. The professor flung the blankets over the dog's head.
I have him, Nicky, but I can't hold him.
The shovel. Where's that shovel I saw?
Hurry, hurry. I can't hold him.
Now, I hit him again and again. And then suddenly the only sound in the barn was the dull thud of the shovel. The dog didn't move or make a sound. He never would again.
We had better get out now.
Yeah, let's go.
Ah, the smell of a bakery is always good.
How fortunate it is I have only this morning made Pfefferkuchen, Joseph. Just the way you always liked it.
How good to see you again, Anna. I told my friend Nicky that you would take us in, help us.
Natürlich, Nicky. I will do anything I can.
We may stay here then, huh, Anna? Oh. If all goes well, we will leave right after the raid tomorrow night.
Yeah, 24 hours, all we need.
Of course, you may stay. I still live above the bakery. There is an extra room. My grandson, Emil, will not be home from the youth camp for a week.
Youth camp?
What could I do, Nicky? What could anyone do in these days in Berlin but ride with the wind? Until there is a chance to fight against it. Helping you and your mission. will give me my chance.
Little Emil. 8 years ago seemed like only yesterday. I used to sit with him on my lap here in this bakery and twirl my gold watch on the chain for him. Remember, Anna, how he laughed?
Yeah, I remember. He has forgotten you by now. And you would not know him. He's 13 years old.
Oh, 13 years old?
Already they have poisoned his mind. I cannot get to him. I do not dare. He's a little parrot speaking only what is taught him. Nicky, some more coffee?
No, thank you, Frau Leitner.
More Pfefferkuchen or Apfelstrudel. A specialty of my shop, Apfelstrudel.
No, thanks.
6 years ago, at this very table, I had Emil on my lap when the Gestapo walked in and arrested me. Mm. They did not like what I taught in their school.
Hey, what's that? Someone's coming?
I don't know who it can be. Customers never come by this late.
Grandmother, surprise, I'm home.
Emil!
What is, man?
Emil, your manners. These are friends, just passing through Berlin. They are just staying the night. This is Herr Neudeck and Herr Josef.
Yes.
Heil Hitler.
Oh, yes, of course. Heil Hitler.
I did not expect you until next week, Emil. How is it you are here so early?
Sure, I won a great honor, which I want to tell you about. I did not know I'd have to share it with strangers.
Shame, Emil. These men are, well, soldiers of the fatherland. Yeah?
Yes, Emil, we were both with the elite guard of one of Rommel's Panzer divisions.
Rommel?
Yes, that is before we received our medical discharges.
Oh, Rommel. Please sit down, my boy. I will bring you something to eat, yeah?
Don't you want to hear about the honor I received? Look, Grandmother, on my sleeve.
A red swastika.
Yeah, red for the youth movement. And a swastika because I learned my lessons faster than the others. The commander-in-chief of the whole youth movement awarded me my swastika. And he told me I could take my vacation a week early. Are you proud of me, Grandmother?
Yeah, my boy, yeah. Let me get you something to eat.
Oh, no, I'm too tired. Going up to bed. Grandmother said you're staying here. Will I see you in the morning, gentlemen?
Well, I'm not sure.
Oh, they will be here. Now that you are home, Emil, I will sleep on the couch and give them my room.
No, please.
Oh, it is all right. It is settled.
Good. Perhaps then, Herr Josef, you will tell me about Rommel. A great leader.
Yes, perhaps. We will see you in the morning, Emil.
Why do you stare at me?
Do I stare, boy?
I thought so. Have I met you before, Herr Josef?
No, I am sure not.
Your face. Ever since I came in. Grandmother, have I met him here before?
No, Emil. Herr Josef was here before you were born, even. You have never seen him. It has been years, 15 maybe, before you were born.
I suppose so.
Well. Good night.
Professor, he wouldn't remember, would he?
Oh, how could he, Nicky? He was a baby that last day Josef saw him, barely 5 years old. And the professor was 30 pounds heavier, at least. And clean-shaven.
Yeah. Anna is right, Nicky. Do not worry. He could not remember. Do not worry.
But I couldn't help worrying. I lay awake half the night thinking about that kid in the room next door. The 13-year-old puppet with the new red swastika. It was just a feeling. I had a funny kind of feeling at the pit of my stomach that made me wish they'd kept him in that youth camp until after we were gone. When I got up, the sun had been up for hours, and so had the professor. I went downstairs to the bakery. There was the smell of fresh bread baking, and I knew Frau Leitner was in the kitchen. But the professor was sitting at the table, swinging his watch on the gold chain and talking to that German quiz
what
kid.
What have you learned, Emil?
But why do you want to know?
Oh, I'm just interested. I want to see how well you have earned that swastika.
I stood at the bottom of the stairs and listened.
We have a leader who has revolutionized Germany. He is the greatest man who ever was or will be. When I joined the Führer's organization, the man in charge said, "Join no other organization but this. Forward, forward, the banner leads us to eternity."
Oh, you have learned your lesson well,
Yeah, Josef. Are you sure I have never seen you before?
Of course not, my boy.
I seem to remember.
Herr Josef.
Ah, good morning, Herr Neudeck.
Since we're just passing through Berlin, don't you think we ought to see a few of the sights before we leave? Yeah, you're right. We will leave now. Perhaps later, Emil, we will talk more.
Raid was scheduled for that night, and the professor and I had a lot of work to do. We made arrangements to meet about 4:30 that afternoon at a tavern on Wilhelmstrasse. We went separate ways. I did a lot of walking, and I made a lot of notes in my head. The Klingenberg power plant was still functioning. The Ostenkreuz junction of the city railroad had been repaired. There was an ammunition dump on the north side that our bombers couldn't see from the air. It's a nice day. A lot of Germans were walking the streets. And I made a lot of notes in my head.
You wish to all now, mein Herr?
Nein, later. I am waiting for a friend. The professor was 15 minutes late and I started to get nervous. Maybe somebody had recognized him. I sat there and sweated it out. 15 minutes... 20 minutes. Half hour. And then he finally came. But he wasn't alone.
Herr Neudeck, this is Hauptmann Müller. We met only this afternoon, and I invited him to come and have dinner with us.
It was not quite that way, Herr Neudeck. It was I who insisted upon coming along.
Gewiss, sit down.
You were with one of Rommel's Panther divisions, I understand.
Yes, we were only recently discharged from the army.
Myself, I am just back. We will have much to talk about. Where is that stupid waiter? They're never around when you need them.
He will be here presently.
Presently is not soon enough. I will go to see him myself. I'll be right back.
Where did you pick him up?
He found me, my friend. There is a reservoir near the rail line. I was looking around. I think he was a little suspicious at first, but when I told him I was with Rommel, he became more friendly. Yeah, I am beginning to believe I was in Africa myself.
Just the same, I wish you could have shaken him. What did you find out?
It was a profitable afternoon. And you?
A profitable afternoon.
Good. Shh, he comes back.
Yes. At first, it seems strange to me that Herr Josef here should show so much interest in the reservoir.
Well, I was merely taking a stroll, getting reacquainted with Berlin.
Then I watched you. I saw you walk down towards the rail line. That was when I stopped you and began to talk.
We are both glad you did, Herr Hauptmann. Gave us this opportunity to get acquainted.
Yeah.
Hope we shall see more of you while we're in the capital.
Perhaps, Herr Neudeck. Perhaps you shall see a great deal of me. I think I shall call the waiter and order some brandy. Oh, I see. You have not yet finished your meal, Herr Neudeck. You're still eating.
It's very good. Our diet at the hospital was not so varied.
No doubt.
Everything I ate stuck in my throat.
I know what
it wouldn't go down. I knew that German officer was watching me as he talked. Watching me strangely, and I didn't know why. I knew that something was wrong, and I didn't know why. The professor felt it, too.
Her name is Gertrude, little Fräulein I tell you about. And she has friends. Oh, very pretty friends. You would like to meet them, perhaps?
Yes, we would like to very much, Herr Hauptmann.
How you would have enjoyed them. We might have had great fun together. All of us. Unfortunately, you may be otherwise engaged with the Gestapo.
What did you say, Herr Hauptmann?
I have been watching you all through dinner, Herr Neudeck. You are an American. Do not move, either of you. I have my hand on my gun.
But surely you're joking.
No European eats the way you do. To change the fork from the left hand to the right after the knife is used.
At first, it escaped me. I just knew something bothered me. Then I realized what it was.
There it was. The little thing that could put a rope around
only
my neck.
Americans hold the fork five where it isn't the right hand.
In my nervousness, I'd forgotten a little thing like that European manner of eating.
The Gestapo will be very pleased.
The sharp knife I'd been eating with was still in my hand. Almost as if it moved by itself, it disappeared under the table and halfway into the German office.
Good work, Mickey.
Good. I was stupid to get myself into that jam in the first place. We're not out of this yet. Waiter. Waiter.
Now, mein Herr.
Check, please. A friend has had a little too much to drink. We will take him home.
Yeah, yeah. Right away.
Between the two of us, we managed to get him out of there. His head was rocking back and forth like a drunk. The knife was still in him, so the blood didn't flow very much. He kept his cape around him.
All right. There is no one around here, Nicky. We can dump him behind this shed.
All right. We're beginning to leave a trail a mile long. So long, pal. It was nice meeting you. Come on, Professor. Let's go. Bakery, there was more trouble waiting for us. Trouble 61 inches high, weighing about 110 pounds, wearing a new red swastika on his arm.
It is no mistake,
Grandma. They're in the kitchen. Something is wrong.
I don't like the sound of that. Come on.
This morning when we were that watch on the chain, I thought I remembered something, and just now how I did.
Oh, you have never seen her use this before, Emil.
Yes, I have. When I was very little, the Gestapo, they arrested a man with a gold watch on a chain. I tell you, it's the same one.
Emil, they do not even look alike.
And what about this? This broadcast radio I found hidden in your bedroom in a hat box.
It's called a walkie-talkie, Emil. What? Give it back to me.
Mickey! Use it to come back. You see, we've wasted time. I should have gone to the authorities right away. They have tricked you, Grandmother.
He knows, Anna.
I'm afraid so. I've been holding him here, hoping you would return.
What did you say? You knew, Grandmother, didn't you? They didn't trick you at all. Traitor. You're a traitor, too.
Amy,
get away from me. I hate you.
Nicky, get him. He's trying to run.
Yeah, I've got him.
Let me go. I'll report you to the Gestapo. They kill you. They have you shot.
I'm not going to report anyone. What'll I do with him?
Upstairs, his bedroom. Lock him there until after you have gone.
Right.
Let go of me. Get your hands off me. I hate you. Oh, let me go.
We'll have to come with us when we leave here tonight, Anna. You cannot stay now.
Professor is right, Frau Leitner. That kid upstairs will turn you over to the Nazis so fast you won't know what happened to you.
My little Emil, turn me in. Josef, would he?
Yeah, I'm afraid he would, Anna. It is best that you come with us. We are going to try to get through the lines into France. Once there are underground workers who will help us.
Yeah. Nicky. Is it all right if I bring this tray of food up to him? He has not eaten. He's still such a little boy.
Yeah, sure. All right, take it up, but don't untie his hands, remember?
Yes, I will remember.
Well, the raid ought to start soon. Let's go over this map, make sure we have everything right, huh?
Yeah. Now, the rail line is here.
Mm-hmm.
Sector 2, grid B3.
If our bombers knock that out, Berlin's transportation is completely crippled. And here, on the map, power plant is in sector 6, grid G5.
Nicky, he's gone.
What did you...
What?
His hands. He got them loose. He lowered himself from the window with the bedsheets. What are we to do? He'll bring the Gestapo back with him.
We don't know how long he's been gone. Professor, the window, quick.
Yeah.
The back door.
There is a car coming. I can see it.
There is an alley and...
Now,
look,
no time. They'll have this place surrounded. How do you get to the roof?
The roof, yeah. Up those stairs. We can go to the other rooftops and perhaps escape.
There better be no perhaps about it. We went up to the attic stairs and onto the roof. You could see the Germans from there. Four of them in black shirts spilled out of an armored car. Two of them broke in through the front door. Two of them started around to the rear. Then we heard Amy.
There they are upstairs! On the roof!
Amy! My boy!
Nicky,
Nikki, she's dead.
Well, it won't do her any good if we stay here. Come on, across the parapet.
Harry.
Oh, that's music in my ears. At least it'll keep them from getting more help right now.
Stay where you are! Surrender now, and it will go easier with you!
Come and get us, pal! One of them did try to come and get us. He got it first. Right between the eyes. He swayed for a few seconds back and forth, and then he fell off the roof onto the street.
That's one of them, Nikki. There are only two left.
Two? Well, what happened to the third?
Nikki, was... behind you!
Fourth Nazi had come up the other way, through somebody else's attic and onto the roof behind.
Get your hands up!
And now there are just two left, Professor. Hey, Professor, what is it?
My leg. I can't move it. I can't go any further, Nikki.
What happened afterwards was a nightmare. It was as if the earth cracked wide open. It was red hot and burning, and the noise of the planes and the ack-ack and the German guns and the bombing made my stomach turn. We crouched behind a parapet, and I held them off while the professor directed the bombs.
Attention! Attention, bombers! The Klingenberg power plant is still functioning and supplies electric power to vital industries. Bomb Sector 6, Grid G5. The Ostkreuz junction of the city railroad has been repaired. Knock it out, and all traffic in Berlin will be stopped. Sector 2, grid B3. All right. Go now, Nikki, while there is a chance. I can hold them off long enough for you to get away.
I can't leave you here.
No, they won't take me. Don't worry.
Now, look, I'll carry you. We'll make it. Come on.
Listen to me, Nikki. Go across the next two rooftops and then down through the skylight. There is a tailor shop.
Yeah, but Professor...
Go out the back door there. It leads to an alley. Once over the fence, under cover of the raid, you can make it.
Now, look, I won't go without you.
All right. I will change your mind. Attention! Attention, bombers!
Hey, what are you doing?
Attention, bombers! Imperative! Wait 2 minutes and bomb crossroads at Sector 7, Grid D3.
Hey, Professor, what are you doing? You're crazy. That's here, this sector.
Go on, run. Run, Nikki. I'll cover you.
I ran. I stumbled and fell and got up and ran again. When I got down in the alley through the tailor shop, I kept on running. And then the bomb fell and the concussion rocked the ground and I went flat on my face. When I looked back, I knew that our bombers had made another direct hit. The professor had not only held off the Germans while I got away, but kept them there until it was too late for any of them. A little German bakery that specialized in Apfelstreudel folded up as it had been made of matchsticks. Somewhere in the wreckage, the professor with his gold watch on a chain was buried under it. And overhead, the planes headed back. There was nothing left for me there. I headed back, too.
Lieutenant Gus Olesnikus made his way to France and after months from there to England. But his direction of the bombing raid from the target itself kept some of Berlin's major industries crippled and its transportation system paralyzed. And once again, the report of an OSS agent closes with the words...
Mission accomplished.
Listen next week when we again present...
Cloak and Dagger. In today's Cloak and Dagger adventure were Everett Sloan, Bill Zuckert, Lily Darvas, Barry Kroger, Michael Artist, Raymond Edward Johnson, Carl Weber, Jerry Jarrett, Bobby Weil, and Brad Barker. Script was written by Winifred Wolfe and Jack Gordon. Music was under the direction of John Garth. Today's true OSS adventure was based on the book Cloak and Dagger by Corey Ford and Alistair McBain. This has been a Lewis G. Cowan production, in association with Alfred Hollander, and was under the direction and supervision of Sherman Marks.
NBC offers three of radio's top mystery adventure shows, The Big Guy, Sam Spade, and The Saint. So if mysteries are your meat, listen in tonight. Next, hear High Adventure, then The Big Guy on NBC.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.